I'm glad to see some young folks here tonight.
Amen.
I like to talk to the young folks. The old folks, well, they probably know a whole lot more than I do, but the young folks, I can say, I might know a little bit more than you do. But I am glad for you. I'm glad that you are here. I'm going to talk to you tonight about a subject that I don't know very much about. You ever do that, young folks? You ever talk about something you don't know very much about? Well, let me ask you this. Do you talk about computers? Sure you do. You work with them all the time. But do you know very much about computers? You know how to run them. You know where the keys are. I have a grandson that can run a computer like everything. In fact, he laughs at his grandpa because his grandpa here, I can't remember where the keys are, let alone what to do with them after I find them. Computers are an interesting thing. I was teaching a young people's class. Actually, it was a junior high class many, many, many years ago at Forest Hills Bible Church. And I asked the young folks, how many of you here understand computers? Well, almost all of them raised their hands. Of course, they're growing up in a computer age. And so, of course, you don't get it. So I asked them, I said, well, can you build a program for a computer? Well, then a few less hands went up. There were a few who could build a program for a computer, but not so many. And then I asked the question of those who could build a program for a computer. Okay, so you've learned a lot about computers. You know how to operate them. Now I want to ask you the hard question. Can you build a computer? And can you make it function like it is supposed to? And all the hands went down. No, building a computer has to be a very intricate thing. I have to tell you honestly, computers, they confuse me. I do not understand how that they can take so much information. I mean, I have a cell phone, and that is my computer. I don't have a computer at home anymore because these cell phones are so good that you don't need a computer at home anymore. I can receive email. I can send email. I can look up anything I want to on my computer. And you know what? I don't even have to type it in to the computer. I got a little microphone there, a little tiny thing. Looks like a microphone. I touch that, and it comes up, and my phone says, I'm listening. I can't believe it. And so I say to it, well, when I asked just recently, tell me all about the bats in Michigan. And I did that because we had a bat in our house not too long ago. I wanted to know all about the bats in Michigan. Boom! It didn't take 2 seconds. And my screen was full of all kinds of information about bats in Michigan. Every species of bat that you could find in the state of Michigan. I thought there was only one species in the state of Michigan. Wow. When I learned how many there were. But all of that just by speaking into my cell phone. Computers confuse me. How can all of that information get onto such a little tiny thing so small I can hardly see it? I don't have the answer for that. And what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, I don't have the answer for that either. I only know that it's true. It is true that I can talk to my phone and it will give me all kinds of information. And I can prove it to you. I can show you. But I don't understand it. I don't understand how it can be. But you know what I'm going to talk to you about tonight? That I'll tell you. I want to talk to you tonight about the mind of God. I don't know very much about the mind of God. I only know that it is very, very great. It is very, very complex. And I know that the mind of God was so great that before the world was ever formed, that God, three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they made a plan in heaven before the world was ever formed. Nothing had been made yet. Nothing. And do you know what that plan was that they made before the world was formed? Do any of the young folks have an idea? I'm not expecting you to answer. One of the things I hated when I was in school was when the teacher would pinpoint me, you know, and say, "Can you, David, tell me the answer?" Oh, come on, don't do that to me. You know, no, I'm not expecting you to answer, but I want to make you think. I want to make you think tonight. What was that they planned before there was anything? Before there were any stars, before there were any planets, before there was any world. The mind of God made a plan for your salvation. Now that boggles my mind. I have to be honest with you, that boggles my mind. But I know it's true because that's what the Word of God tells me. In more than one place, that before the world was formed, God made this plan. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, just a couple of verses here. He says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, any of you young folks, do you live on a farm? I don't know. Do you? Any of you? No. I grew up on a farm. And you know what? I'm glad for that. Because I learned a lot about life. I learned a lot about, the Word of God because I grew up on the farm. And the reason I say that is because almost all the parables that were told by the Lord Jesus Christ are centered around farm life, centered around the earth, centered around animals. Almost all of them. And I grew up with them. Can you milk a cow? Any of you young folks, can you milk a cow? I know you can run a computer. But I'll challenge you to sit down with me before a cow and milk that cow. You maybe can make me look silly by running a computer. But I want to tell you what. I can milk a cow like everything. I mean, I grew up on the farm when we didn't have any milkers. We did everything by hand. And I want to tell you what, we learned how to milk that cow so fast. Other kids would come from the city. "Can you, here, sit down and milk this cow?" Well, they're scared to get that close to the cow in the first place. And then in the second place, they could get the hold of the cow's udders, but they couldn't make anything come out. You know what they did make come out? The cow. The cow didn't like what they were doing. They were hurting her. When I went to Romania here many years ago, I told them I grew up on the farm. And so we went to visit the farm. One of the families that was in one of the assemblies there, and they had milking cows. And so because I had told them that I grew up on a farm and I could milk cows, they challenged me. And they said, okay, let's see if you can really milk a cow. Wow. I hadn't milked a cow in years. You know, it's been many years since I milked a cow. But was I nervous? No. Because learning to milk a cow is like learning to ride a bike. You never forget it. You never forget it. I sat down at that cow. The farmer who owned the cow was milking the cow, but he was having a little trouble. And, well, he didn't think he was having trouble. He thought he was doing great. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, if I had a chance to milk that cow. And he finally asked me, come on, you want to try? Okay, so I sat down. I milked that cow so fast, so hard, that I filled that bucket in 2 or 3 minutes, and the foam was standing that high on top of the bucket because of the air that was mixing with the milk so fast that he couldn't believe it. He called everybody, come here, look at this guy. Yeah. And so, in Genesis chapter 1, we read that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I asked you if you ever grew up on a farm. The reason I asked you that was because I wanted to explain to you that what is happening here in Genesis chapter 1 in those first two verses. God, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before anything was ever created, before anything made that was made, they were like a mother hen does, sets on her eggs, and she is brooding. She is keeping those eggs warm in anticipation of when those eggs would hatch and little babies would come out of them. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are thinking about that day when this plan that they are creating, that they are making, talking about, they're thinking about when it would finally actually come into being. That's what a mother hen does. And that's the thought here. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know, it's hard for me to comprehend that before the world was ever formed, that God was thinking about me. That He was thinking about you. We live in a world today, and this is an important point that I want to make to you today, especially for the young folks. The world today is actually questioning whether there is a God or not. It wasn't that many years ago when there were bumper stickers on the back of cars running around Grand Rapids saying, God is dead. And they were teaching that God is dead. Now, the whole world is beginning to wonder whether there really is a God or not. Do I believe there's a God? Yes, I do. First of all, because the Word of God says so. But you know why else I believe? Because nature itself teaches me that there has to be a God. There has to be a mind behind everything that is going on around us in the planets, in the solar system, in the stars, the galaxies, most of which we have never even discovered yet, so they tell me. Galaxies out there that go forever that you cannot begin to comprehend how many they are. the mind of God, how great it is. Now I want to ask you another question. Have any of you young folks ever seen Northern Lights? You have. Well, are you a young person, Dave? You're only as old as you feel, you know. So I think I must be about 19. But my bones say I'm older, but my mind says I'm 19. You know. But actually, Northern Lights are beautiful to see. You can't see them really from Grand Rapids. You know why? Well, in the first place, we're too far south. It's difficult to see them. But I grew up in Cadillac, 100 miles north of here. And Cadillac is next to the highest place anywhere in the state of Michigan. And there on that farm, we had a big hill. And on a clear night, in the summertime is when you see them most, my father would say, come on, we're going up on the hill. And we would stand there on the hill and watch the Northern Lights. As they would flash in the sky. Back at that time, we thought that the sun was shining off the icebergs and creating the light. But we were just children. I've learned since that that's not the case. Northern Lights are caused, so I am told by scientists, is caused by light that comes from the sun. As the sun puts out certain particles, what have you, I can't even tell you, I told you I was going to talk about something I don't know nothing about tonight. But it's throwing out particles, and as it comes close to Earth and mixes with Earth's atoms, that it creates that kind of diffusion of light, and it begins to flash, and it's beautiful. Beautiful to see. Northern Lights. They're beautiful. How about an eclipse? You've seen eclipses. You know, it's an amazing thing. The eclipse itself is amazing, but you know what's more amazing than that to me? That man, scientists, can predict eclipses hundreds of years in advance. And it happens almost in the minute that they say it will. Hundreds of years from now. How can that be? Because there is a mind behind all of this so great, so majestic. The scriptures tell me that the mind of God is so great that what does the scripture say? The simplest thought that God could possibly have is greater than the most incredible thought that man can have. That's what the Bible tells me. That is amazing, isn't it? Wow. One more thought before we move on. Our time's getting away from us here. Have you ever heard a jet break the sound barrier? Young folks, have you heard that? What's it sound like?
Like a gunshot?
Yeah, really loud. Boom! You know what causes that? Sound travels at about 700 miles an hour. It wasn't that many years ago when man did not have an airplane that could fly that fast. And finally, when he created an airplane that could fly faster than sound, it emanated its own sound out ahead of itself, and then that plane could fly faster than sound, and when it passed it, its own sound that it was creating, the result is a big boom. Now, maybe that's a simple thing, but that's not simple to me. I am amazed at how long it took man to develop an airplane that could move that fast. How many years has man been upon the face of the earth and just now he is learning how to break the sound barrier? Oh, he goes much faster than that now, of course. But with all of man's greatness, with all of his ability to create and to think, is nothing compared to God. Nothing. It was that mind, the mind of God, that before the world was ever formed, formulated God's plan of salvation for you and for me and for all mankind. Oh, we could talk on and on and on and on. But you know what? God not only created the universe, the worlds, the planets, all of the stars out there, the galaxies that go on and on and on and on. He not only created all animal life, all fish life, all bird life. He also created man. And we find that here in Genesis chapter 1 when God said, "Let us make man in our image." Everything that God had created before that. He didn't say that about it. And it was not created in the image of God. Animals have no knowledge of God other than instinct, that they do things instinctively. But they don't have any knowledge of God like we do. The moment someone is born, they are born with that understanding that there is a power greater than man. And after some years in university, after some years of listening to all the nonsense of the world, they begin to question that. Is there really a God? What did God mean when he said, "Let us make man in our image," and why would he want to make a creature in his own image? Why would he want to do that? And what did he mean by that? When I was a little boy, I looked in the mirror. I was just a little guy. I looked in the mirror and I thought about that verse of scripture that God was creating me in the image of God. And I thought, oh, poor God. If he should have to look like me. I was a very awkward child. Very awkward. I walked awkward. I talked awkward. All of those things. But that's not what the scripture means when it says we are made in the image of God. What it means is that God wanted us to have attributes similar to his. Not the same in magnitude. Not the same in might, in power, ability. But he wanted us to have the ability to make choices. And the ability to create. He wanted us to have that. And we do. The sad thing is that God intended that man should glorify him. But he made man with a free will. He gave him that free will that he could honor God. He could worship God. Or he could choose not to worship God. Man has that ability. Unfortunately, young folks, as you know, the majority of the world does not believe in God. Now there's one more thing I want to point out to you, and I want to end my message tonight with this. And when you go home tonight, I want you to think about this. God created man in his image so that he could have companionship. You feel the need for companions? Of course you do. God created man for companionship. But let's go one step further. I was teaching the youth class at Forest Hills Bible Church. We were talking about boys versus girls in class. And you know how boys are, you know, when they're at 12, 13, 14 years old. You know, they're right at that age where they're kind of like girls, but they're really not sure they like girls. They just wish they'd all go away. Why can't they all be the boys? And I made the statement to the boys. I said, you know, you shouldn't be so hard on the girls. Because one day, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be a girl. And they said, what? What are you talking about? No way, that's impossible. I said, well, the Bible tells us that we who have been made in the image of God, male or female, in the will of God, will one day, for those of us who believe in Him and accept that scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God intended that that body that He calls the church, the body of believers all over the world, that that body would become His bride. The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that's our destiny, if that is why God created us, then doesn't it behoove us to behave as though that's what we are to become? To rejoice in that fact that God created me, not just for a companion, but He created me to be part of the body of Christ, to one day be the bride of His Son. Now I have to confess, I just talked to you about some things I don't really understand. But I know they're true. I know they're true because the Word of God tells me it's true. And it is my prayer to God that you young folks will always embrace the Word of God. That you will clutch it to your bosom. You will write these scriptures upon your heart, upon your forehead, upon the palms of your hand, and bind them about your neck. And that you will make this Bible a part of you. And you could not imagine living life without it. That you will become so familiar with this book that you could quote it and talk about it intelligently, even though you don't understand it. Does that make sense to you? It does to me. I don't understand why God did that. I mean, there He was in heaven, happy with His Son. Wonderful, wonderful relationship between Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. Why would He want to create you and I? Because He needed a bride. Wow, what can I say more than that? I think I should stop now before I undo everything that I just said. Praise the Lord for what we have bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ and His promise to us. When you go home tonight, young folks, it would honor me greatly if you took a moment on the way home in the car or when you get home before you go to bed to thank the Lord that He loved you enough to do this and to ask God, help me to understand it better. Maybe I can't understand the mind of God, but I can love and appreciate the Word of God. If you do that tonight when you go home and honor me with that, I will be so pleased. So God bless you, young folks. And may you honor the Lord with your lives. Let's just look to the Lord and thank Him for what He has done in our behalf. Our Heavenly Father, we have talked about things tonight that we really don't understand. We only know that they are true and we know that they function. Our Father, we need only to look at each other who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and to see the smiles on our faces, to see the joy in our eyes, even though we are old and we have pains and aches. Father, life is taking its toll, and we are beginning to feel the pains of growing old. And yet we can be rejoice in the Lord. Our Father, thank you for that. Thank you for this truth that we not only read in your word, but that we see in the eyes and the faces of these old folks who are here. And one day when these young folks, when they are old, oh Father, it is our prayer that that joy will still be there. And they will find their completeness in the Lord Jesus Christ. For this we pray. In the name of your beloved Son. Amen. Amen.